The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday.
Live
in the Israel Update with Anthony Reich, only on High FM.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov, very good, thank you, Howard. Thursdays are a special day, you know. It's almost like, thank God it's Thursday sort of feeling today.
It is so true. Do you ever get used to that, as a matter of interest, living in Israel when Friday is more like Sunday?
You definitely get used to the cycle of the week. Yeah, I mean, we do miss our Sundays for people who've made Aliyah from, you know, countries where Sunday is a day off. And we have to get used to particularly holiday days always being chagim. You know, that's one of the things that we have to become accustomed to. It's always, you know, got religious implications if you get days off. And obviously the restrictions that come with that. But we do miss our Sundays, definitely.
Yeah.
But, you know, Thursday is Thursday, and we definitely have the Thursday feeling today.
All right, so let's chat about what happened following Prime Minister Netanyahu and Russian President Vladimir Putin, their meeting. What was made public, about this meeting? I can't say what it was about, what was it about, because we really we can't be certain.
The headlines, in terms of, you know, what was released in terms of press releases and things like that after the meeting. The headlines are, you know, that the crisis over the downing of the Russian plane is now behind us. This was really the headline from the meeting. And it's interesting that some of the Israeli papers are even talking about the fact that Israel accidentally downed a Russian plane. And I found this
incredible,
quite amusing. Yeah, because, I mean, it was seen pretty clear at the time that the plane went down that the plane was shot down by a Syrian, by a Russian anti-missile system that was being operated by Syria. So to talk about Israel accidentally downing a Russian plane really plays to the rhetoric of the Russians themselves when they found in their investigation that Israel was actually responsible for the downing of this plane. But from what I understand, there was absolutely no reason why Israel should be found to have been responsible for this incident, even though there were clearly Israeli planes in the area at the time. And, you know, there may well have been a lack of coordination between Russia and Israel during the moment that those planes were in the air. That all may be true. But I think that to go as far as saying that Israel accidentally downed a Russian plane, I think seems to me at least to be different from the official line that we've been given by the IDF and by the Israeli government. So it sort of makes me wonder whether there might not be something a little bit more to this story than we have officially been told. But be that as it may, it seems as if though from the photographs where Russian President Putin is shaking Prime Minister Netanyahu's hand and the groups of officials sitting around in this official meeting at the Kremlin, and we know that there are quite a number of Israeli people involved. There was Ze'ev Elkin was in attendance at the meeting. The National Security Advisor Meir Ben-Shabbat was there. Prime Minister Netanyahu's Chief of Staff Yoav Horovitz was also there. Political Advisor Reuven Ezer was also there, and of course we also had the IDF representative, the major in charge of IDF military intelligence, Major General Tamir Heyman. He was also at the meeting to present to the Russians intelligence evidence that Iran is attempting to entrench itself in Syria to establish some sort of a permanent presence within Syria, something that I would imagine the Russians are probably well aware of anyway. So the idea, I think, of the meeting was for, first of all, to have an official meeting and to have the photo calls to show that relations between Israel and Russia are really back on track. The Israeli delegation would clearly have spoken about Iran in Syria. I'm sure that, as I said, whatever they would have said to the Russians would have been absolutely no surprise to them. But I suppose that sometimes you need to make clear what you know, so that at least, you know, the Russians understand that Israel is not oblivious to the fact that the Iranians are really trying to establish more of a permanent presence, and that Israel is making also clear its position that it won't be tolerated, and that if necessary, Israel will continue to fire upon those positions in order to try to destroy them in an attempt to avoid more of a permanent presence by the Iranians in Syria. And of course, there was discussion about the S-300 anti-missile system, which has been deployed in southern Syria against Israeli aggression, effectively, that potentially prevents Israel from carrying out these strikes against Iranian positions in Syria. So all of that would have been discussed, and I'm sure a lot more, which we haven't been told about, but clearly a big delegation of Israeli officials and their Russian counterparts, each one, of course, sitting on different sides of the room as these things generally happen. And so I think, you know, from a public perspective, this was Netanyahu's way of saying, we're back on track with the Russians. We have this open dialogue with the Russians, even though we know that a lot of what Israel is going to tell the Russians and ask the Russians is going to fall on deaf ears anyway.
It's so interesting when you look at the parallels. Netanyahu meeting Putin while back at home. There's this talk of an indictment. Trump meeting Kim Jong-un while back at home. There is this Michael Cohen story going on. It's just the synchronicity here is quite incredible. Can you tell us and give us an update as to where we are, or where we are in terms of that indictment? Does it look likely that bribery charges will be brought against Prime Minister Netanyahu?
That seems to be the case. We understand that today Attorney General Avichai Mandelblit will release his recommendations about indicting the Prime Minister on these corruption investigations that have been ongoing already for some months, even more than that. Of course, the Prime Minister has hit back saying that the allegations are ridiculous. But apparently the Attorney General has made his decision, and if we believe what's been written in the press over the past few days, he will make public today his findings. And we expect that he will be recommending indictment against the Prime Minister on three different charges, one relating to so-called Case 2000, which involves discussions between Prime Minister Netanyahu and the publisher of the Yediot Ahronot, Arnon Moses, over some sort of a quid pro quo for more positive media coverage for the Prime Minister in his newspaper. We know that Noni Moses and the Prime Minister were at loggerheads with each other and were very much bickering with each other in the national press. And apparently, behind the scenes, there was some sort of an attempt by the Prime Minister, if we believe what the Attorney General is going to tell us today, there was some sort of an attempt by the Prime Minister to somehow pay off Moses in order to get more positive coverage in his newspaper. There is the so-called Case 4000, which involves a plan to try to ease regulations for Bezeq, in a deal that was apparently done with Bezeq chief Shaul Elovich. And that was also in return for getting more positive coverage through his online news site called Walla. Mm-hmm. So those really are the main charges. And then there's also this so-called Case 1000, where apparently there will be charges on a breach of trust. And so all in all, the Prime Minister seems to be in quite a quagmire at the moment with regard to these charges. And we did talk yesterday about how this might affect the election. Sorry, Case 1000, for those people who are not aware of it, involves Prime Minister Netanyahu being involved somehow with Arnon Milchin and James Packer. Now, Milchin has become a movie mogul in the United States. James Packer, not even an Israeli citizen. He's an Australian from the Kerry Packer family. And apparently there was some sort of dealings that the Prime Minister was trying to deal with. Apparently he received gifts from these people. It's not exactly clear what he would have given in return for these more than average gifts that were received from these guys, who clearly are very, very wealthy and have the ability to give extravagant gifts to the Prime Minister. So it's not exactly clear what they would have received in return. But apparently this is also a case that the Attorney General would like to recommend be prosecuted. And as I said, we did discuss yesterday how this might affect the election campaign. And, you know, my feeling is that people who are supporting Prime Minister will the Prime Minister will support him in spite of these charges being recommended and even brought against him. But I think the real question is whether the weight of evidence, whether the weight of the prosecution or of the indictment might be too much for him, and whether it might in fact force him to resign or step down from his position as leader of the Likud going into the general election because of the weight of these accusations against him. I think that that's the critical point. At the moment, it doesn't seem to be the case, but I have to say that I can't rule out the possibility that between now and the time that the general election comes about, if indeed these charges are brought against the Prime Minister, I can't rule out the possibility that he may be forced to step down from the leadership of the Likud.
What I find, what I'm finding difficult to deal with is the timing of this indictment. This has been going on for a very, very long time. Surely, there should be a period ahead of the, of an election where there's almost a stay on these types of things because it can ultimately, sway an election. I mean, if you play it out this way, he can be indicted, he can lose the election as a result of it, and then found not to be not guilty. Now, I'm not suggesting he is or isn't, but it's certainly conceivable that charges can be brought against anybody for anything, and ultimately they prove their innocence, but after there's a tremendous amount of political damage already done at a time that is absolutely critical to them.
I think that this is a big, big question for democracy, for our democracy and for democracy in general. Because there were people who said that while he was sitting prime minister, that these charges, these accusations were doing damage to the country in general, because the prime minister had the job of running the country. And while he was trying to run the country, he was being forced to answer all manner of political questions, which again may be shown in the future to be without foundation. And therefore, why would you disturb a sitting prime minister and force him to have to answer questions and to be questioned under caution and to expend huge amounts of money in legal fees while we really want him to focus on Israel's security, Israel's economy, and just generally running our country? So there were people who were highly critical of the fact that this was being put upon the prime minister while he was sitting. So the question is, when is the right time? When is the right moment for indictments like this to be brought forward? And maybe there is an argument that says before he's elected as prime minister, you know, going into the election period, maybe that is exactly the right moment. Because if indeed there is foundation to these accusations, then we wouldn't want him to be elected prime minister only then to create a further situation of instability. So there is obviously the situation, there is the possibility that he may be charged and found not guilty. That's true. But if there is enough evidence to support an indictment and the Attorney General feels that there is strength enough in what he's seen to support a conviction on these charges, you know, the question is, when is the right moment for that to be brought forward? Do we to be put forward? Do we have to wait until after the election, after he served his term as prime minister, and then accuse him and then bring, you know, the evidence, by which stage, you know, it could be 4 years later? It's a difficult one for me to answer. I don't know what the answer is, because on the one hand, if he is guilty, you want to know about it now. On the other hand, if he's not guilty, you don't want to disturb the natural flow of democracy, and you don't want to disturb the fact that he might be voted in as prime minister. So I am in a dilemma over this issue.
But my point is exactly that, is if you could indict him, if you had indicted him a year ago, and you could determine whether he was guilty or not, that's one thing. But to indict him only a few weeks ahead of an election where there's no chance that it'll go to court yet, and it will be determined whether he is or is not guilty, gives him no chance. It doesn't serve any form of justice.
I'm not entirely convinced in my own mind either way on this thing, because if you look at it on the one side, you know, if we know what the outcome is going to be, if we know that he's going to be guilty, then it's easy for us to say, well,
exactly.
No, he should
but
be
you can't determine
now.
That. We're not a court. We're not a court of law.
And it's very important. We don't know what the end result is going to be, and we don't know what the right thing is for the country right now. What we do know is that there certainly are people in Israel who would bring any charge against the Prime Minister, frivolous charges, just because they have a political problem with him, and they're trying to damage him politically. We do know that. And, you know, we have to look. When you say, why bring the indictment now? Well, I don't know whether the Attorney General is really genuinely just finished his investigation. And this is just where it turns out in terms of the timing. I don't know that he specifically said, look, before the election, I need to bring the indictment, so therefore I need to hurry things up. I think that this has just been the natural flow of the time in terms of all the work that's gone on. And this is when the result comes out. So now that he's come to his conclusion, the question is, if you were the Attorney General and you've just finished your investigation, what do you do? I'm not sure what I would do.
I'd love your thoughts. 34519 or 061-895-1019. Time has just gone 8 o'clock. Anthony Wright, thank you as always. Thought provoking and informative. You have a fantastic weekend. Shabbat Shalom.